Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Hello, yes. So this is cutting on drone warfare in between Ukraine and Russia, because it was another drone attack on Moscow. Second 3 days, hitting Moscow City, hitting the same building which was hit before. Now, a seemingly innocuous office building, but it's in the financial district. So that's one of the most valuable things they could hit in Moscow, commercially speaking, where stockbrokers are, bankers, insurance brokers, and so on. Now, a lot of them started to work from home. A lot of the foreign ones have gone. But there's obviously a danger that you're going to kill civilians if you do that, maybe even kill foreign civilians, and possibly irk the Chinese if you killed one of those. But the strategy is this, because obviously it's got no military significance, is to wreck the Russian economy, because Russia's pursuing that strategy of trying to ruin the Ukrainian economy and achieving a high degree of success with that. So perhaps this wasn't random. Now, Russia said there were three drones used. They're all brought down, two shot down, one brought down by electronic warfare. Now, I'm not an expert on the technical side of this, but I'm told Ukrainian manufactured drones, they use quite second-rate components because they're cheaper. They're hastily put together by people who are inexpert. Because the outstanding Western manufactured drones, the NATO donors have said, you must not use this across the border in the Russian Federation. You can only use it in the illegally occupied areas of Ukraine where the Russian forces are. So it carries on apace. The 3rd of May was the very first Ukrainian drone attack in Russia, although it was explicitly disowned by President Zelensky. And now he's implicitly said that they're doing them. A couple of days ago said, yeah, we're taking the war to the enemy. Just started that drone attack on Sunday, Russian Naval Day. So they're becoming a banality, an increasingly common occurrence, almost journal. Now, the Muscovites are largely shrugging this off, because in a city of over 40 million people, we're led to believe not a single person has been killed. Even people who have been killed, I suspect it's very few. There's been trifling damage to several buildings. They haven't hit any military targets, but eventually they're going to get lucky. And the range is the notable thing, where this is 500 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. But there is a theory that the Ukrainian forces already inside Russia are launching them, hiding somewhere in the forest or whatever. So the range is not as great as we think, or is it anti-Putin Russians who think, you know, we've got to bring down the Putin regime, this is one way to do it. But, you know, in recent years, Moscow's faced far worse. You know, they've faced bombs which killed dozens of civilians at a time. They faced hostage incidents, that hostage incident about 2004, where hundreds of people were killed, actually, by the Russian forces, pumping in some noxious substance in this theater standoff when they're held by Chechen separatists, and so on. So Putin thinks that they can tough it out. Now, one thing is, why does the Russian state media report it at all? Because they're just censoring, pretending it's not happening. But then the rumor mill might get going. People imagine that the attack is actually more injurious than it really is. Anyway, so we certainly haven't seen the last of that. And Russia doesn't really have ways to hit back any more than it was already. Hit Kryvyi Rih, which is the hometown of President Zelensky, I think out of sheer spite. It's a city of no military significance. We're told by the Ukrainian government six civilians were killed. I always have to say these are claims. I can't tell apart claim from counterclaim. Was it really six? Was it more? Was it fewer? Were they really civilians? I'm just, you know, we can't take all that for granted, because obviously in war you want to keep morale up, not a bit as soldiers being killed, not lower morale, I suppose, by announcing civilian casualties which are too high, and so on, and try and make the enemy look as wicked as possible. But coming on to Russia's drone strategy. So it's to ruin the Ukrainian economy. And obviously grain is one of the major exports. And the Black Sea Grain Initiative was ended on the 19th of July this year by the Russian Federation, saying that any ships, civilian ships, which come to Ukrainian ports to pick up grain to go and export it to the hungry of the world, we will sink them on the presumption that they might be bringing in arms to the Ukrainians. And so no one's dared to do it. There was some sanguine talk, would they do it? But now it doesn't seem that any NATO country is going to send ships to escort them, which is a pity. I wonder if that will change, but I don't think it will change. But there's a slim possibility. So Ukraine's other options are to take this to the Danube, take it to their border with Romania. Izmail is a river port there, and export it fluvially, or sometimes through the Romanian Black Sea coast. But anyway, the Russians have been hammering Ukrainian port facilities, whatever, cranes to load and unload, and the grain itself. So the Ukrainian economy already shrank 30%, so it will shrink even more. so very difficult to export grain, but making global hunger worse. Double whammy. At the same time, India has forbidden the export of certain types of rice, not all rice. And India is the world's biggest rice exporter. I think like 40% of all the rice exported in the world is Indian. And in some countries, it makes up to 80% of their imported rice, not of their total rice, their imported rice. So and there's a sort of cross elasticity between grain and rice. If you're not going to eat one, you might eat more of the other. So they're not exactly the same product, but the price one impacts the price of the other because they can be substituted for each other. They're largely interchangeable cereal crops. So the president of Romania, Klaus Iohannis, he's an ethnic German, said this is unacceptable because it was so close to the Romanian frontier. So it was only 3 kilometers away. And we know the Russian incompetence being what it is, it's simply a matter of time before one of these drones lands on Romania, destroys something, maybe even kills someone. But Putin is showing his usual brinksmanship. But what's NATO going to do if that happens? Now, no doubt if it happens, Putin will say, no, we didn't false flag. The Ukrainians deliberately did it just to make us look back. His old playbook, that's what he always says. A bit like when actually something landed in Poland. Was it shot down by the Ukrainians? Was it deliberately fired into Poland by the Russians? It's unclear. So NATO better get its act together to say what they're going to do. Because if he gets away with it, he'll do it more and more and more. And NATO's actually been very limp-wristed about this. When an American drone was shot down over the Black Sea and there was no response, destroying that Kharkovka Dam, for example, they didn't up the ante, they didn't provide more weapons, and so on. Large-scale massacres like the Bucha massacre, there was no proper responses in, okay, we'll give a weapon system to Ukraine that we weren't previously giving them to disincentivize Russia for a repeat performance. But as Putin perceives he's not going to pay a price for this, why wouldn't he persist with this one, wrecking the Ukrainian economy and starving people in the less economically developed countries until he thinks taking his side? And so far, there doesn't seem to be too much pushback. I mean, the Egyptians said they were not pleased by this, but they have not actually done anything with it. They've got They've got fairly cordial relations with Russia. So grain warehouses in Reni on the bank of the River Danube, they were blown up and so on. So, you know, over 60,000 tons of Ukrainian grain have been destroyed in Odessa and Chernomorsk over the past few weeks. So he's trying to starve people into submission. So because the ability to export things by road and rail is actually very limited. So drone warfare apace. We obviously haven't seen the last Ukrainian drone attack on Moscow. But they might hit a significant target later on. Not quite sure to believe the numbers that there were supposedly 25 Ukrainian drones attacking Crimea the other day. They were all brought down. Remember, the Russian Federation claimed Crimea as its own sovereign territory in 2014. So that might be an exaggeration. It'd be astonishing that there were 25 of them. And they did virtually no damage. What a big swarm. The Ukrainians have not got a lot of air defense around the ports like Odessa and Izmail because they were thought to be almost out of range, not very militarily important. They're obviously economically important, but they might have to do that. But then you can't be strong everywhere. If they're moving their air defense to that area of the country, they're weakening it elsewhere, particularly with their troops on the front line. Anyway, thank you so much for watching this. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.